This is the Power of Prayer Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. I'm Dave Savage, the programming and production manager here at The Quest. And I just want to mention that if you want to call in, you just heard the phone numbers. But if you were listening last hour, we had anybody who called in before 11 o'clock got a gift certificate. We've given away a ton of gift certificates, but these companies, these restaurants are so generous with these gift certificates that we have more. So I think we got some Chick-fil-A gift certificates still on the table. We've got Reveille and Marietta, Crabapple Tavern, Brookwood Grill. That's a great place to eat. So if you want to go to any of these places and just ask for a restaurant gift certificate when you make your pledge to 470-508-1160. Let me set the table here for this is usually the time you would tune in and listen to the family room. But we've got kind of a cool thing going on right now. We've got the family room here live. So, John, how you doing today?
I am doing great. Thanks for taking care of us, Dave.
And Craig, hey.
Everything's great. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. And then Judy, I'm going to mess up your last.
Guilfoyle,
thank you. But the you should be silent. I'll just erase that you.
But that's Guilfoyle. Right.
Okay. How'd you do in French?
So, yeah, Judy
and
is.
And then don't forget, we've got Mari on the line as well, who's not in studio with us today, but Mari Cleveland is joining us as well.
Hang on, I'm going to point my microphone in that direction.
And she'll be with us in just a second. But we like to start each hour off with a prayer. And we've been getting the kids from the Catholic schools around the Archdiocese of Atlanta. And this morning we have we're going to go to St. Joseph School in Athens, and Mary is a seventh grader there. Mary, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Excellent. So you're in seventh grade.
Yes, I am.
Okay. What's your favorite subject in school?
I really like math. We have a great program here, and I really feel like I learn a lot.
Wow, that's excellent. Your mind works with those numbers. It takes a special mind to be able to do that. I don't have one of those minds, but but that is so awesome. So you're all set to lead us with a prayer to kick off this hour.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, good Saint Joseph, as you held the Christ child in your arms and cared for him, hold the needs of our Catholic families in your arms and take care of us. As we trust in God, we also trust your help. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That was beautiful. That was awesome. Yes. Thank you so much, Mary. I hope you have a great day today.
Mm-hmm. You too. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Mary.
Boy, she sounds like a sweet girl. That's awesome. So I'm going to hand it over to you, and then I'm going to get your counterpart here, Mari, on the line. And so go ahead.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, what I wanted to do was the whole show today is on the power of prayer. Excuse me. And we're fortunate enough to have a prayer warrior with us in the studio, Judy Guilfoyle. Some of you may know her. She is one of the foundresses of Pinecrest Academy, which, again, was conceived in her prayer time as something that God wanted her to do. And she always steps out in great faith, does the amazing things that God draws her to do that some other people would be like, yep, there's no way in the world that that's going to ever happen. She's a mother of three beautiful daughters, a grandmother of 10.
13,
that's right. You had 10 living with you.
Mm-hmm.
She got 10 grandchildren living with her, 13 total. And she's got an awesome husband whose name is Bill. So, Judy, thanks for joining us. What a blessing.
Thank you for having me.
Go ahead, John. What do you got for us today?
So, look, there's all kinds of energy. One of my favorite songs is Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place. Have you ever heard that song? I love that song, right? And as I sat and listened to Mary's prayer, that was the song that came to my mind. And it's clear, and there's energy in here, but Ben, I want to bend that just a little bit towards some fun, and I'm gonna give three statements or three things, and I want you to tell me the single word that all three of those things have in common. Are you ready? This isn't math, Dave, but we're gonna do it anyway. So number one, founding Pinecrest. Two words, founding Pinecrest. Number two, our lake house is dedicated to Our Lady. So get those words. Our lake house is dedicated to Our Lady. So founding Pinecrest, our lake house is dedicated to Our Lady. and a Catholic daycare. What is the one word that all three of those phrases have in common?
Miracle?
No. Well, maybe, but not yet, because we don't have a daycare yet.
How about Judy?
True, but not the one I'm looking for.
Faith. How about prayer?
How about yes? How about the word yes? The Lord taps, and Judy says yes. And as a function of that yes, we have all three of those things. So the third one kind of in process, right?
Absolutely.
But I think that's, we could summarize all of prayer, arguably, in that single word, yes.
Yes.
Or if you wanted to extend it, yes, Lord, right? So Judy, I mean, take us, how did you get down that path? I don't even know how I'm sitting here next to you asking these questions, but this is amazing. Tell me, get us a kind of a sense of how do you get to yes? How does all this transpire? How do you end up in this studio with all this in your resume, your spiritual resume?
And maybe one of the ways to start that, John, is even to say, Judy, I mean, with your yes, so start at the beginning. Did you grow up Catholic? Have you always had a faith life? Can you walk us through some of that brought you to this these yeses?
Yeah, I think the beauty of my life as a child was my mother's example. I grew up in a Catholic home. I grew up in a home where prayer was very natural. There wasn't a lot of heavy leaning in on the six of us to do certain things, but there were sacramentals everywhere in the home. I shared a bedroom with my sister. Every bedroom had a holy water fountain. And even as a child, I would go to the holy water fountain, which had a tiny little sponge in it so you wouldn't drip the holy water everywhere, right? And I would pick that up in the morning, and instinctively I would put it in my ears and in my mouth, and I would say, make me holy.
Now, oh, wow.
I mean, it was just a childlike thing because it was innocent, right? And it was very common to see my mother at the midday taking a quick feet up on the couch for a moment before my dad came home, just there with the rosary. And then during the month of the rosary, May and October, you know, we were always, as a family, after dinner, we prayed the rosary. But very simple sacramentals, very simple. Mm. And I think the devotions were done more through just examples of love. That's all. It was not pushed. It was there. It was there.
So people living their faith every day.
Yeah, there was a peace. It was a tiny little home with one bathroom and eight of us. And everything was very simple. Very simple, and you just kind of moved with it. You know, beautiful examples, mother and father.
That's awesome. So, listeners, you're listening to The Power of Prayer, and it's our spring pledge drive here on AM 1160, The Quest. Please call in at 470-508-1160. To make your donations to keep Catholic radio alive and well, so we can keep bringing you awesome programming like we have and bringing you incredible people like Judy Guilfoyle. So Judy, question then, you know, a lot of people pray a lot of times, and oftentimes as Catholics, we grew up, rote prayers, we know the rules, but God isn't always alive for a lot of us. Was there a point in time, and maybe it was when you were blessing yourself with holy water, sucking on the sponge, but when can you say specifically in your mind that, like, God was real, like, that whole fatherly, dang, this is real? I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah. I would say that, again, going through most of my life, it was just very simple and very natural. There was no opposition to it. It was like a little spigot was turned on, and it just dripped, right? But I would say that when I married my husband was not a Catholic. And when we married, my mother gave me one piece of advice. She said, as you begin is as it will be. So if you would like him to someday become a Catholic, live your faith, all right? Mm. That moment where it became very clear to me that God was very personal in my life was about the 12th year of our marriage. And we had a daughter that almost died down in Florida. And we were in a prayer group, and it was a time that I was introduced to Scripture through a non-denominational prayer group.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And all of that settled in. And it was during that time that my husband, through a grace, said he wanted to come into the church. Actually, what happened, we were walking out of the Mass the very first day that we had been in Tampa. Bill asked to take me there, so I knew where to go. When we came out, the priest grabbed lapels on his collar, and as he grabbed him, he said, "What is your name and who are these children?" And Bill introduced us, and then the priest said, "I've never seen the likes of you here before." And while being held by the collar, my husband said, "Father, I'd like to take instruction." It was the touch of a holy priest. He just touched him.
I was going to say, I know Bill a little bit, and he's, I don't know if he's ex-military or not, but he kind of functions like that. You don't grab him by the lapel and not potentially expect to get, you know, grabbed back. That's amazing.
Yeah, we heard years later that this beautiful priest, he had a reputation for just a holy touch.
Wow.
So, and during that time, the woman who ran the first RCAA program that kind of flipped into the laity side, okay, she was a mother of eight, and she asked everybody in the course, before they came into the church, they had to have a personal miracle. And that was a moment where we almost lost our daughter to a disease. And on the weekend before he came into the church, we had a miracle.
Mm.
We had a miracle.
Wow. Speechless.
Yeah.
So
there's not supposed to be dead air on the radio. Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, folks, but when you hear something like that, you just, you know.
This is one of those silent prayers on the radio.
Yeah. Seriously, and you marvel in God's wonder.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, John.
No. So the next thought I wanted to ask was, how has your personal life affected your prayer life? I think I kind of get it. But before, let's take a minute, if you would, Judy. And so clearly, you said that like a spigot was turned on and it just dripped, but clearly you were collecting everything that came out of that spigot, and it has affected you and how you pray. So today, when you pray, all these things are in your mind and in your heart, and all this grace that you've collected from the spigot that God has just kept dripping, pouring now maybe. How do you pray now, or how does that affect how you go before your maker and engage?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've been very privileged and very blessed by God because I had the example as a child. And then I had very solid people who led me into first through these prayer groups that were non-denominational. And when at that prayer group they called out Our Lady as something that was something we shouldn't turn to, I had Our Lady already. So I already had that placed in me to know this is a beautiful group, but something is off. But yet they led to personal prayer, okay? I would say then I stepped into being introduced as we came into Atlanta to the Regnum Christi. Mm. So there was a formal order of the day for prayer. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too unusual to me because I'd been doing some of it kind of naturally. And through this Bible study, I'd learned some beautiful reflection for scripture and kind of stepped through some of those formalities and then began reading and learning and being under instruction as well. But I guess the piece that God has been so kind to me with is he is very obvious to me. He makes sure. I think each of us has our own unique prayer. Totally. Mm-hmm. It is totally personalized. I have an art background, so I'm very visual. And God has always been very visual with me. And so during many of these times in my life where there was something he really wanted me to know, he would make it extremely clear. And if I can take a quick second to just share an example.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
So this is a time where I have come out of that. We're moving to Atlanta, and we're moving into a new stage now, equally yoked, Bill Catholic, ready to go, having this miracle of Shannon, right? And we want to serve, right? But as we were getting on the plane, we were in the airport, and there was a couple sitting next to me that were in an argument. It was a Jewish couple, and the woman was very, very strong. And the Lord put on my heart that I was supposed to confront the gentleman and let him know that Jesus loved him. I have my Bible in my hand because I always carried my Bible and I underlined it and I read. I was, you know, loved that. God really spoke to me through scripture. So I said to Jesus, you know, oh, Jesus, what can I say to him? He's Jewish. Like, what am I going to say to him about you? You know, literally, this person walks through the airport with like a poster board with the scripture back and forth in front of me, Galatians, whatever, that says, in Christ there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no man, there is no woman. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me.
Wow.
So I got into the plane, still not sure what I was going to say, but he had been so undone by his wife publicly. Okay. And my heart was bleeding for him. So I took time in the plane to write a letter to him about how Jesus loved him and how, you know, he saw him and he was there to comfort him. And as we're going off of the plane carrying the new baby, I threw the baby at my mother as we got off the plane. And I chased the couple into the parking lot. I got on either side and I said, this letter is for you from our Lord. And what I have to say to you is, I experienced what happened in there. Be sensitive to your husband. And it was just one of those moments. So this is one of the ways. God is very visual. He's used visual posters over and over again. Like, did you get it yet?
That's funny, because I've asked for posters and billboards, and he has not obliged. I'm just saying.
Maybe not.
Apparently, I'm not visual.
It's almost like getting hit between the eyes with a 2x4. It's like, hey, here it is. Here it is. This is the Power of Prayer Spring Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. We need your donations in order for the Quest to stay on the air. I just want to take a minute, if we could, maybe let me just step over here into the call center. I just want to mention a few. John and Mary from Roswell have donated. Mike, he has donated, as well as Karen. That is in honor of Mari. So thank you, friend of Mari here. Colleen, in honor of Judy. And they picked up a Chick-fil-A gift card, so that's kind of cool. We've got Paula from St. Peter Chanel in honor of Mari, John, and Craig. We've also got Mike and Yvonne from Woodstock in honor of Mari, John, and Craig, and they picked up a gift card as well. Rebecca picked up a Chick-fil-A gift card, and also Eleanor from Johns Creek. So we still got some of these gift cards left. If you want to call in and donate, you can get, I think we've still got some Chick-fil-A ones left. Oh, let me step out of the call center there. So we still got some of those gift cards left, and we've also got match money. Up to $3,000 from an anonymous donor at St. Jude. So this is like the perfect time to call in. You're going to double your double your donation. You're going to get a gift card to find a restaurant establishment in the area. And all you have to do is call 470-508-1160. You can log on to thequestatlanta.com or download the Quest Atlanta app on your phone, and you can donate that way as well.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Thank you. So, Judy, right before we were sharing all of that, and first of all, thank you so much, all of you who have called in and donated for in all of our honors. And we just thank you for the way you're supporting Catholic Radio, and you get to hear wonderful people like Judy just share her life experience with God and the way that God is working and moving in her life. in such a way that it made the three of us become speechless, which is kind of hard to do.
That's rare. Yeah,
that's pretty. Even Dave was speechless. That was awesome. So, Judy, you shared with us a story about how you were praying and God was talking to you, and it really influenced somebody else's marriage, you know, that couple in the airport. How has your prayer or how has prayer maybe in general influenced your own marriage and your family? You said that there are a couple ways I'm thinking about this question. One is ways that prayer has you've seen how it's influenced your marriage and your family, but also maybe even you said we each have our own specific prayer style where you're very visual. Is there anything about the way your family members have learned to pray according to their prayer style? So I guess maybe that's two different questions right there. Mm-hmm.
That's a really good question. I really find that I have to be really simple in my family, really simple, and really able to allow God to bring forth their style. I think especially in the culture today, if I move too strong on what works for me, everything shuts down. So it's really important for me to respect the simple way God has to get my attention. Maybe I'm a little slower, maybe I'm a little, you know, less, you know, advanced in any way, but God uses a very childlike way with me. And so I'm very grateful for that. And in my family, as they were little, we did rosary. As we got older, and now we have everybody living there from all different, you know, places, all different college age, little ones, whatever, there is an invitation, but it's very soft. And I think if there's anything that maybe is speaking to them is I have to have for the quiet prayer, because that's really important to see the day, I have to have a place that's uninterrupted. And so they know that there is a place in my home that I am, when I'm in that chair, that is a place where I am trying to come to quiet and it can be respected, you know. And sometimes they'll sit down and say, what are you talking about with him? And then I'll get my little journal out and I'll say, see, here's your name and, you know, whatever. But it's very normal, you know, it's very normal. We do, you know, we do the liturgical pieces in the home and that type of thing. But I think it's a very soft play, like my mother was almost, very learning to be that.
So if you're living scripture and it says, come to me like little children, Judy just gave you a life example of not being a child and not being, you know, infantile, but really just having pure, simple faith. You know, I met Judy when we moved to Atlanta in 07. We were taking our children to a Catholic school, and we hadn't seen Pinecrest Academy yet. And we visited. Judy was, I think, the head of admissions at that time. Now, mind you, she founded the school. She's done every job there from cleaning floors to admittance. And we met her, and you had to meet Judy. And I'm sitting here watching her, like, thumb her rosary beads, which are always in her hand. She meets you. She's got a rosary wrapped around her arm. And she says, we're going to start our school tour in this beautiful chapel at Pinecrest. They have a gorgeous chapel. It's like a church. And she says, here's where all things begin. You're like, I'm in. I don't need to see the rest of the school. I don't need to. I don't care about the education. If this is what it's founded on, I'm in. But that's the faith. And I'm bragging on you a little bit, Judy, but that's the faith she lives. And if you've heard her story too, it's I live simply and I step out in faith. I do what I believe God asked me to do, which is incredible. And kind of in that vein, you talked about your prayer routine a little bit. How do you feel you hear God's voice then? You say it's visual, but we've talked about three things, and we're going to dive into those a little bit later. But you found a school. You buy a lake house that you were like, oh, Bill, we're going to go do this. And you're retirement age, and it's a big house, and you had no idea what the plan was. And since 2007, God's put on your heart, we want you to do another big thing. How do you hear God's voice, if you can explain that?
I'm so excited to explain this, because everybody out here, you can hear his voice. What he does is he piques the desires that he has placed in your soul from the moment you were conceived. And you think this couldn't be, I mean, could this really be God talking to me? Because I really like this idea. It's fun. He works for me very clearly, and I can say this in all the people that I have time to speak about spiritually. He works through our desires. And those things that he placed that were so seemingly big, they were almost like fun. They are fun. Because it's something that I love already. And something that as it kind of gets created in my imagination, it's like, oh my gosh, this is something I want to do. I want to do it. So you're not fighting him. You're just following this fragrance. Like, okay, I can go this far, Lord. And if you want more and you want this in it, well, you just have to do that because I don't know that part.
And what about the skill set? Because you weren't a school administrator early on. How did he come about giving you those gifts to go do that? Because a lot of people are sitting there saying, oh yeah, but you probably have training in starting a school. You probably have all this training. If I recall, you don't.
No, I don't have anything. They kept looking for things.
I don't have anything, but faith.
Yeah, they kept looking for things in my file when we got accredited. Your file is empty.
It's a clean file.
It's a clean file. Again, look at this beautiful way that God had prepared my heart for the invitation to something I loved. He prepared it because he had already been working on having me one day in the communion line ask him. I said, you know, Jesus, I believe that you are present, but I don't really feel that, like deep. And I said, if I am to really believe that, could you give me the grace to really know it, not that it has to be a feeling, but that I know. And you know, that prayer was seated by him and was answered by him, right? So it's shortly around that time where that Eucharistic love is developing that I'm introduced by a guest priest to a woman who came to All Saints for the first morning of their move, Arlene Gannon. And we get to the back of the church, and she says, where do your kids go to school? And I said, we're homeschooling. This is our first day. We've never done it before. She said, we can't find a seat in a Catholic school because they're crowded. Let's go to breakfast. And at breakfast, she goes, you know, I have some legionary priests that want to start a school. I said, oh, that would be fun. Let's do that. So all these things are work, yes, but there is so much joy that they aren't their life-giving work. And then God surrounds. Every time you need someone in the work, you say, I can't do that. And for instance, as the nest was being rebirthed in my heart again, at Holy Hour, I just said, I need a beautiful young man who has great business sense and can help us get this going. And I walked out of the chapel, and because God's timing is now, another man approached me, wanted some assistance on something, and he said, what do you need? And I told him, and he said, here's the man. The next day, going to a prayer rosary for a priest that was dying, everybody's leaving the church, and in walks this man. I never called him. And I said, you're here to see me, aren't you? And he said, yes, but first him, pointing to the tabernacle.
I'll be darned.
Wow. You know, just the beauty, you know, the really concretely asking. And like my daughter, my youngest daughter, says, Mom, the angels don't even know how to join you unless they're big enough prayers. They can't get their swords out.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I'm going to just jump in here. And as I was reading off those names before, I overlooked Colleen, and I'm going to mispronounce this, from Akinamawak. Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Yes, has called in and pledged some money, so that's awesome. And we also have those, you know. And I was thinking about this. We started blowing out these gift certificates. If you make a donation, and if you could do that before noon today, if you make a donation and ask for one of these restaurant gift certificates, you'll get one. But I was thinking, this is going to look like the family room people are like so popular and can generate so much money because it's...
We are.
It's the family room. Money happens in the family room.
But you don't...
All kinds of ways.
You don't think that the gift certificates have anything to do with it. You think it's just your popularity.
I'm sure of it.
People are hungry. We're feeding them. Dave, quiet. It's all about us, Dave.
Okay. Well, I got to go logical on us.
Dave, actually, it's what Judy told us. You just ask. We just ask.
That's right.
Do you think those gift certificates just happened? It was inspiration.
It was. So, yeah, so we've got the gift certificates. Just ask for one, either an online donation at thequestatlanta.com or when you call 470-508-1160. And we still have pledge money on the table, matching gift money. So matching money. If you make a donation, it will be doubled up to $3,000, and that's from an anonymous donor at St. Jude.
Dave, wait. Here's the good news. I just got a text that we got an anonymous $1,000 donor.
Really?
So whatever this match is, now you're up to $2,000 just now, guys. Let's keep this rolling.
Amen.
Let's make this happen.
Yeah. Let's take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Can you guys unmute me?
You're listening to AM 1160, The Quest, and this is our spring pledge drive, where the theme is the power of prayer. Keep listening for more stories of inspiration and hope through the power of prayer. After hearing these stories, if you're moved to donate, please call 470-508-1160. Go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener-supported, and we rely on donations from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to the Power of Prayer Pledge Drive shortly on AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
That's the power of prayer.
Hey, I'm E. Walter Smith from Christ Our Hope Parish in Lithonia, Georgia. You're listening to AM 1160 The Quest, WCFO. East Point, Atlanta, covering all of Metro Atlanta and beyond. Listen on air or even find us online at thequestatlanta.com any time of the day. Embrace your journey. Come on, join the quest.
My name is Father Waldemar Patricia. I am pastor at Mother of God Church in Conyers, Georgia, and here is a prayer for Ukraine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, God of powers, and God of our salvation, look down with mercy and compassion on your humble servants, and out of love for mankind, have mercy on us and on the land of Ukraine. We, who are sinful and unworthy, pray unto you in repentance and with tears. Help us, O God, our Savior, and deliver the land of Ukraine. For you are the health and victory and salvation of them that put their hope in you, and unto you do we send up glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much for your support and thinking about us. Please continue just to pray. God bless you.
The Quest presents Mom Minutes with Cameron Frad from Among the Lilies.
I think that we are so blessed as Catholics to have Mama Mary, okay? When my kids are little, they call her Mama Muh, and then eventually she becomes Mama Mary. We are so blessed with Blessed Virgin Mary, whatever name you want to call her. She's amazing. She's a mom. She gets it, right? She totally gets it, and she desires us to know and encounter her Son. So when you have had a hard day and you felt like you have failed today as a mom, ask for her help. When you don't know what to do for your child, I turn to her, and I'm like, okay, Mary, I don't know what my son needs right now, but you do. So you please fill in the gaps, fill in the pieces where I'm messing up here, and you just be with them. You help him, you help her, encourage them, and lead them to your son. Let them know him, love him, and serve him. And I think that we get to take advantage of that, which is really cool. I am nowhere near as good of a mom as her, but I try, and by her grace, she will teach me how to be a good mom too.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
The Vatican Exposition of Sacred Relics includes relics of the Saints Joseph, John the Baptist, and Mary Magdalene, pieces of the wood of the True Cross, and over 100 more. It's one night, March 31st, at All Saints Parish, Atlanta. Find out more at thequestatlanta.com.
The Power of Prayer Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160. On our app, or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to the Power of Prayer on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
That's the power of prayer. That's the power of prayer.
And if you listen at regularly at this time on Wednesdays to The Quest, you are going to hear the family room, and we kind of have a live version of that going on right here. We've got Craig and we've got John here, and Mari is on the phone here because she's elsewhere. So now this and our guest Judy Guilfoyle, we're so glad to have you. Some very inspirational stories about the power of prayer. But now what's the deal here? We've got something very unique here. I mean, we've been giving away these gift certificates. Yeah. We've been doing a lot of stuff, but who wants to take this, John?
Mari's going to take this. There's a lot of characters in the in the family room, but Mari's going to give us a special spin on characters.
There we go. So we are so thankful to our regular listeners of the family room. And if you haven't heard the family room yet, we have amazing guests. You know, you're hearing Judy here today with us, such a beautiful woman of wisdom and prayer. And we have a number of amazing guests. You can always go back and listen to our podcast and to the past guests we've had. We've had world-renowned theologians. We've had families, married couples. We've had quite a variety of folks join us. And next week, we actually are going to be featuring Robert Ross and his family. Robert is actually an author. He writes science fiction with a Catholic spin. There's a bit of a Catholic twist mm-hmm. in it. Some of his characters are very fascinating, interesting characters, and you get to watch them on their faith journey. And his wife and his daughter were in studio with us. You'll get to hear them next week. And they actually are his beta readers. They read along with him and give him feedback on his books to make them better. And Robert, in honor of the pledge drive, offered an amazing gift. So for anybody who is willing to pledge $1,500 in the next 20 minutes during our hour, $1,500, you will actually be able to be a named character. You can either have yourself as a character, if you want to do it in honor of somebody, you will be a named character in one of Robert's future novels. And he's got quite a readership, and his novels are beautiful, amazing, creative novels. And he gets to know the person he's naming a character after, and he actually even makes the character weave into the story sometimes.
It's pretty great. It's amazing.
Yeah. That really is. That's awesome. So yeah, keep that in mind. Call in 470-508-1160 or thequestatlanta.com, and be sure to mention that you want to be one of the characters in yes. Robert's books for a $1,500 donation.
Now, I'm going to talk to the men right now. All those men whose wives look at him and say, you know, you're some kind of character. You truly can be some kind of character. It's a great opportunity. Let's go. $1,500, drop in the bucket. Well, several drops, but it's good.
Yeah.
It's well worth it. So in talking about this, we've been talking about hearing God's voice, but honestly and truly, you still have to deal with discernment. You know, I know Judy's been a spiritual guide, by the way, for those that don't know her. She's helped people lead, you know, grow in their spiritual growth. But a lot of questions come out of, well, how do I know, Judy? How do I know that's what God's telling me to do? How do I know that's not me? It's not my ego. And I don't have your simple faith. I'm way too egotistical, and think I'm way smarter than I really am. How do you recommend somebody discerns God's will when you hear that voice and it's like, I need to go do this?
Mm-hmm. Boy, now that's not a simple question. You know, I think, again, it's always really beautiful to surround yourself with people that can help you with that. Okay, so the discerning comes, you know, through the church, right? It comes through the teachings of the church. It comes through the place in life you are. It comes through your spouse to see if it resonates with them or if it's going against the very thing that needs to happen at the ground floor. And then there are people that God places and accompanies you, whether it be priests or, you know, someone that is more deeply sensitive to the discernment of things. But I think as you ask on all of those layers, if God wants it, he keeps coming back at you with it. And as you fight to kind of let go of it, like this is impossible. It's like, my goodness, Lord, you just won't let it go, you know? So I hope that answers the question, but they're tears and it starts kind of just close to your own, like I said, your spouse, even to begin there.
No, I think it breaks it down into, does it align with church teaching? Mm-hmm. Number one, is it in there? Does it align with your point in life? Meaning, I'm 56. I'm not supposed to go do something that a 22-year-old potentially should do, whatever. But then, yeah, I mean, having holy, prayerful people around you, St. Ignatius always gives you that, have those people mm-hmm. you can have conversations with. Mm-hmm. So, no, you did a great job explaining it.
So, how, you said something, I won't get it right. You said, my word, Jesus, you just won't let this go. or that doesn't seem possible. That doesn't seem simple. I look back at my own life and think of the times I said, I don't know how God can do that. I mean, that was my natural response. I'm willing to, I guess, admit that in public. It sounds kind of dumb as I get it out my mouth. But how do you overcome that feeling in you? Or maybe you don't have it, Judy, but it's like, no, this is overwhelming. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I get that you want me to do that, but now what?
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. We have this practice that every year we pick a saint's name off a table with Regnum Christi, and then you get a virtue for the year. So I drew my card the other day, and it was Padre Pio. And I have, you know, my rosary here in my hand. And over the years, people have given me medals, and that's what's on this rosary. And it's always the saints that want attention. You know, I'm like, you want me to talk to you, don't you? Right? So in regards to that particular piece, I think it is a matter of, first of all, knowing that everything that God is calling me to, it's actually calling me to a deeper love. It's not calling me to the result being a project that I did. Mm. It's an opportunity for me to walk with him in learning deeper love, right, and dependence on him. And whether the project succeeds or fails, it's more in line with, am I saying yes to you and allowing you to use this piece? Think of it. Think of this soul of mine that needed so much done to it that he gave me a big project, not because I could do the project, but because he wanted to do something big in me, not the project, me. I need this kind of a project to help transform you, right? So this is a freedom then, because then you move with what you hear, and you it's like the first time I started running with a friend who was a big runner, she had me hold dry leaves in my fingers so I could run smoothly, and I'm not a runner. But that exercise was almost like the same exercise in prayer. It's not my prayer. It's not my project. It is mine to carry for as long as he wishes, and not to squish it because I have to do it a certain way. Mm. I have to have it perfect. I have to have it right. Does that make sense?
It makes complete mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm.
I'm only laughing because I know Judy, and I know she talks about this like this is an everyday occurrence for everybody. guys, you're listening to the wisdom of what the saints have said forever, and Judy would recoil if I said she's a saint. But this is saintly wisdom for sure.
And I think I want to go there for a second, Craig, because people are going to be listening, Judy, and they're going to be like, I am not Judy Guilfoyle. Yep. I am not her. I am not that woman. And you said that you journal. I don't know, all the things I listen to.
Quiet prayer time.
There's just little things, little pieces of your life. And every one of us is capable of some little piece of that. And Barb and I were talking as we prepared for Bible study. And I shared with her, I said, my dad was a science teacher. And he would always bring cool stuff home. And one of the things he brought home was magnets. And I remember being fascinated by magnets. And, you know, you have the like poles repel and different poles attract, right? And I remember playing with two magnets. And I would see how close I could get one to the other before it sucked the other one right in, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, I'll be playing with that. And as I thought about prayer and I thought about Jesus, it's like a magnet. Like how all you got to do is move one tiny bit,
yes,
and wham,
yes,
he just sucks right in.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I think your magnets, yes, are together. Great for you. But the rest of us, hey, just push our magnet just a little bit. Yes. Is it a journal? Is it whatever? Dave, I'm sorry. I kind of cut you off.
No. What I was going to say, though, is that I hear Judy tell her story. And you know what it reminds me of? The story of Carol Tearsmith, who started
yes,
the Quest.
Yes.
I mean, like she had never worked at a radio station, didn't even know how to start a radio, didn't know anything, yeah, about it.
Yeah.
But look what she's done, you know, and she hasn't done it by herself, obviously. There's been a lot of help.
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit did that,
yes,
knowing that she,
yes,
it would be a lot of work, but that she would be capable of doing that.
Yes.
And I don't want to turn this into a cheap plug, but I will say that if you want to keep supporting,
Make it an expensive plug. We want a couple thousand.
If you want to keep the Quest on the air, it's very important that you call in and pledge some money, donate some money at 470-508-1160, or you can log on to thequestatlanta.com, or you can do it from the app on your phone as well. And we still have $3,000 in match money from an anonymous donor at St. Jude. And that's for another, 9 minutes here up until the top of the hour. And we've got some restaurant gift certificates that we're still giving away. Bad Daddy's, I think, is still on the table. Crabapple Tavern. And and I also want to say thanks to Eddie at Reveille and Marietta, because Reveille and Marietta donated some gift certificates as well.
I'm a regular at Reveille. I love that place. The number the 0800. It's great. I'm just sticking with it. That's good. We love that they did that. And I love breakfast.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Judy, I want to say something else that I think is really important about when we're saying you're Judy Guilfoyle and I'm John Gordon. You said when you get called to something, it's not about the project. And I'm reminded of Father Lino's sandcastles, but it's not about the project. It's about the project God has to work in you. And so when we look in the mirror and say, just not sure what you can do with that, Lord, he says, there's a lot to do, right? And I get that you're not ready, and I really don't care. I have a lot to do, so let's...
He doesn't call the equipped. He equips those he calls.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go. That's a much better way to take care of my stammering.
That's why I'm here, John.
Thank you for interpreting my stutter. All right, let's get back to this.
Well, no, let's be real clear, too. I mean, there's been plenty of books written about, like, Into the Deep by Dan Burke, How Do You Pray? Mm. Judy Guilfoyle's given us practical examples of how you live it out. We are all at different stages, right? I mean, and that's not a negative thing. God meets us right where we are. And he's going to meet us if I'm in church and I only go on Sunday once every 3 months. God wants to meet us there and bring us forward. If you're going daily, what does that mean? Go to Mass. Go to the sacraments. Set your prayer time every single day. Give God your specific time and said, this is important. Family, don't bother me. Now, mind you, if they interrupt because there's an emergency, you can go do that. But here's my time. Grab scripture. And if you say, I don't have time for all of that, pick something. Because God will expand that. Like, you know, Judy and what she's talking about, God continues to expand your prayer time, too. When you say, I've got 5 minutes, next thing you know, God's drawing you to 10 minutes. If mm-hmm. I've got, and nothing else in my life has ever changed negatively by adding more prayer time.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more.
Judy, what's your next big project, real quickly? Because you've got that one on your heart. You mentioned the Nest, but nobody knows what that is.
Okay.
And it's not the restaurant, guys.
No, it isn't the restaurant. It's a Catholic children's daycare. And it came on my heart back in 2007 when I was admissions director and I could see that our pre-K 3 and 4 was beginning to lessen because of daycares. So this is one of those pieces where, again, like I said, the dry leaves, you hold very, I held very lightly because God wrote a lot on my heart for that. And I presented it to our board. There were other things that took priority, so it went back in a tub. And then I put the tub away. And then it came back in 12, and it moved forward a little bit more clearly that this would be something that would be a potential for growing more Catholic schools because you could position them around a locale. And then it went down again. And then it came up at Pentecost, and it came up with just a flurry of undeniable, you know, pieces from God saying, I want this. A doormat that was given to me as a gift that said, the Nest. A postcard of a change in address, the Nest. Someone at Easter giving me a pillow, the Nest. Someone giving me a little book, the Nest. You know, it was like, I hear you, I hear you. So right now what God has done with it, he's placed it in the church. It's been presented on a soft design to the bishop, to Archbishop the Archbishop and also Bishop Kanzen, who is the head of education. And we've been working also under the communication with the superintendent, Hal Plummer. And it is an opportunity right now where we can really see how this will not only grow Catholic schools, but all of the young people that have not been embracing the Catholic faith, we will grab them at birth. At the birth of the family, we will be able to engage not just the child, but the parents, and we'll be able to draw them back in to the community and support in many human ways, but spiritual ways as well. So it's an exciting time. We have a beautiful board, and we're entering right now in the OSV challenge, which is a wonderful piece, and we just went through the first eliminations and a lot of support around it. It's exciting.
Great. Well, and you don't, you know, you say Catholic, but yet you welcome everybody. So you're talking about evangelizing whole families of people that have money. They can afford to send their kids to a daycare. Mm-hmm. So many people do by necessity. Mm-hmm. But, hey, let's drip some faith in mm-hmm. here. And like, okay, I'm planting the seeds, Lord. Now it's up to you to grow that field.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
It's a hothouse. That's what it is.
I can't believe this hour has flown by like they all have today. Let me just step in over here to the call center and just want to mention a few things. Vivian in Cumming, she donated some money in honor of Judy. So thank you very much, Vivian. Charlene in Cumming, in honor of Judy. Lori in Cumming, absolutely. Thank you. Sandy in boy, it's another one of the most Wisconsin names.
Give it a shot.
Mequon.
Mequon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Obviously,
Sandy.
Obviously, these are people Judy knows.
I'm thinking so. So that was Sandy, and she also donated some cheese curds from Wisconsin.
Thank you,
so,
Sandy.
Yeah, no. And then Gail and Kurt in Appleton, Wisconsin. So great. And they picked up a Chick-fil-A gift card as well. So that's fantastic. So let me get out of this noisy call center. Man, there's a lot of action going on in there. Definitely. I got to thank Mari had to drop, but thank you to Craig and John as well for being in here. And Judy Guilfoyle, thank you for your inspirational story.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you all. It's a beautiful mission you have here. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you want to support it, please, that's how we exist, is by donations. That's the only way. We don't get government grants. We don't sell advertising, you know, like the commercial stations do. We do have some business partners, but it really solely relies on listeners donating money. Mm-hmm. And so please give a call, 470-508-1160. You can log on to thequestatlanta.com or download the Quest Atlanta app on your phone. You can donate that way as well.
And you can listen to the Family Room and hear great content from people that love the Lord and want, excuse me, want your family and marriages to flourish.
Absolutely. Thank you.
AM 1160, The Quest, WCFO East Point, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. Welcome to the Spring Pledge Drive, where our theme is The Power of Prayer.
In this episode of Behind the Quest, we'll get to know one of our many volunteers. Now, The Quest is a non-commercial radio station, meaning we can't sell advertising the same way commercial stations generate revenue. We do get a fair number of corporate donors that we're very thankful for, but the majority of our operating expenses come from donations from people like you. As you listen to The Quest, you may not realize the types of expenses that go into just keeping a radio station on the air. But let's talk with Carol, one of our many volunteers.
Yeah, I'm Carol Tearsmith, and I've been around at The Quest since the very beginning with a lot of other people. Well, it all started in adoration. One morning in adoration about 6 years ago, I heard, feed my poor.
Feed my poor. Feed my poor. Feed my poor. My poor. My poor.
And I knew God was trying to say something to me, but I had no idea what it meant. And it took me over 2 years to discern what it was. But after many trips to the Adoration Chapel and many prayers, God made it really clear to me.
And The Quest was born, but not without its challenges.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge is really learning to trust God. You know, God, along this journey, has provided every step of the way. He's provided the person that's needed for every single task. But what's really been required is just to have faith that He's got this project and to get out of the way and to be open-minded when somebody walks through the door. What is God asking that person to do?
And of course, another big challenge is monetary.
The good news is the single biggest cost of the radio station is to purchase the FCC license and the tower site, the land that's built on it. And praise be to God, we paid off our loan back in November. So what we have on an ongoing basis are our operating expenses. And the largest category of those expenses are our salary expenses. But because we have so many volunteers, we really only have basically two full-time people that are employees and one part-time employee. The single biggest ongoing expense is our utility bill. We have a 50,000-watt station, and our monthly utility bill is $3,000. So on an annual basis, just to power the station, it's $36,000. Our rent is about $12,000 a year. And because we share space with Carmel Communications, it's much cheaper than it would be if we didn't have that shared expense with them.
Wow, thank you, Carol. I think you shed a lot of light on some of the hard costs that nobody really thinks about when it comes to running a radio station. Any last thoughts?
God calls all of us to evangelize. We've heard about the new evangelization. And when we all get the opportunity to meet God at the end of our life, God wants us to bring people with us. And so The Quest is a great opportunity to fulfill your obligation to evangelize, whether it's volunteering here in numerous capacities or if it's donating. As sharing a part of your treasure with The Quest, we're able to bring souls to Christ. You can hear on the radio, we hear amazing testimonies of people whose lives have been changed. If we can invite people to listen to The Quest, then their lives will be changed and drawn closer to Christ. And that's what our whole mission is all about, to help fill the seats in heaven.
Thank you, Carol, for sharing your story for this episode of Behind the Quest. Be sure to call in with your donation at 470-508-1160. Or you can do it online at thequestatlanta.com or right from your phone. Download the Quest Atlanta app to make your donation today. And now back to the pledge drive with our theme, The Power of Prayer.
That's the